It was a night unlike any other. On the Judean hillsides near the tiny village of Bethlehem, shepherds were going about their duties of tending their flocks beneath a canopy of stars. All at once, the night wind carried an unfamiliar and captivating sound. The shepherds were alarmed and could not believe the sight as angels filled the skies overhead and proclaimed good news of great joy for all people.
Have your Bible with you here this morning, if you can take it, and turn to the book of John. We'll be looking in John chapter 8 here in just a few moments. During the month of December, as we are in our Christmas season, we've been going through a series on who is this Jesus, the Jesus that we celebrate. And this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 8 and the idea that Jesus is the one who makes us free. This is a truth. A truth that our choir did a fantastic job in leading us this morning in worship, understanding this truth. And our culture today, there is much debate about truth. We talk about it, we argue about it. Is there absolute truth? Can we know what truth is? And how do we find truth? And then, if we find truth, how do we respond to truth when we hear it? When we find out that something is true, we know that it's true, do we even believe that it's true when we know that it's true? Now, the words of the popular Christmas song, Silent Night, share great truth of who Jesus is. In verse 3 of Silent Night, we hear these words sung, Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at thy birth, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Redeeming grace. This is what sets us free. And this is a freedom that is offered to all. Let's read together in John chapter 8, verses 30 through 36. And he spoke these things. Many came to believe in him. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin, and the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Understanding freedom is understanding looking in the right place. Jesus came. He was born in Bethlehem, born in that manger. Jesus came and he walked on the earth and he ministered and he served. And there was widespread unbelief and rejection. Even with all the signs, even with all the wonders, even with all the miracles that he performed, there were still many who didn't believe. But verse 30 says, there were many who did come to believe. There were many who had their lives changed. We don't have any idea. We don't know how many. We don't know exactly who these people were. But we do know that there were those who came and they took their stand with Jesus. You know, today we see the same thing. Today there is widespread proof of the existence of God. Living in Wyoming, we can walk, just drive a few miles outside of town, and you can see the stars in the sky, and you can see the magnificent mountains, and you look and you can say there has to be some God because of this great creation. We see God revealing himself to us and speaking to us, and we know that God exists, and he's there, and yet there are so many who still reject him. But there are those. There are those who understand and those who come to a faith and believe. We need to understand that God's word is accurate. We talked about this a little bit last week, but there's a difference between knowing and knowing. It is possible to know about salvation. It's possible to know about God. It's possible to believe the message of Jesus and yet never have a relationship with him and never know him and never come to a life-changing commitment to him. In verse 31, it says, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are disciples of mine. If you continue in my word, you are disciples. Commitment speaks of relationship. If we have a relationship with Jesus and we have a commitment to him, and we walk with him, we live with him, and that perseverance is proof of salvation. It's so easy to walk with Jesus when things are easy in life. It's so easy to walk with Jesus when everything is going the way we want it to go. Perseverance through the hard times. You've seen people who get excited about their faith and then something happens and they walk away. And they say, I don't want this anymore. Jesus says, the true disciples are mine, are the ones that walk through and persevere. See, if we believe in this message, then this message makes a difference in our life. And this message makes a difference in our life, then we live in such a way that we exemplify that message. It's different. We know that God's word contains answers for today and for eternity. See, we have the ability to live in freedom. This is a big idea for us. In verse 32, when Jesus says, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Look, in America, we love our freedom, right? We like our freedom. We like the idea that we can do whatever we want to do, and nobody can tell us any difference, right? We can do anything we want, live how we want it to. We have this freedom. And we expect everybody to honor our freedom. And we honor everybody else's freedom as long as their freedom to do things is exactly what we want them to do. As long as their freedom is to doing the same things we think we're free to do, then we're good with that, right? But if it's different, maybe we struggle with that. Maybe if somebody has some things they'd like to do that we don't think is okay, then maybe we have some limited freedom for them, but total freedom for us. This is how I think the world views Christianity a little bit. They look at us and they say, you say that you're free, but we don't really believe that you're free. We don't believe that you're free. See, the world sees us and they say, you have this God, and you have this God who's up in the sky, and if you do anything wrong, you have a God who's waiting to zap you, and that's not freedom. See, you have a God who's given you this big old list of rules and things you can do and things that you can't do, and you have to live by these rules, and there's no freedom in living by these rules, and so you can't be people who are free. Christians don't have any fun, and you serve a God who takes away all fun, and so how can you be free when you serve this guy who takes away all of your fun? And I'm telling you that the world has it backwards. The world doesn't see it in the right light, because the freedom that we have enables us to live in a relationship with God and takes away all the things that keep us down. So we rejoice in this freedom, redeeming grace, and we share this freedom. See, what happens with the world is they don't really understand it. Because before you can receive freedom and really understand freedom, you have to be honest about where you are in life. If you're not honest about where you are, then you'll never experience freedom. Look at verses 33 through 35. It says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. See, unfortunately, there are many who don't recognize their bondage. They don't recognize where they are. And although the Jews here did not mean this to be funny, I find great humor in verse 33, where it says, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say we can become free? See, this claim they make, it's foolish. This claim they make here, it's arrogant. This claim they make, it's not honest. See, they say they don't need the offer of freedom because they're Abraham's descendants and they have never been slaves. Maybe we should remind them of Assyria or Babylon or Persia or Greece. Or how about the fact, as they're saying right now, they've never been enslaved, that they're under Roman authority and they're not even free as they're saying the words. See, we see it far too often. Someone is enslaved to sin, they're enslaved to something, and they don't even recognize it. They don't even know they're enslaved, and they have no power to break away from the sin in their life. They have no power to break away from it because they refuse to even see where they are. Jesus says in verse 34, he says, I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you. See, when you or I, when we allow sin to capture our minds, when we allow it to dominate our actions, when we allow outside things to control our choices, we ruin our potential to truly live in freedom, real freedom, to be truly free. Not simply to know about it on paper, or not to know about it in theory, but to truly experience the truth and to be people who are free. And we have to understand that we have to look for this freedom, and we have to look for it in the right place. Carrie Malcolm was a missionary's kid. And for 15 years, she had served as a missionary in the Philippines. But when she was a missionary's kid, she grew up in China. And as a teenager, she was confined for a time during the World War II in an internment camp. And there she discovered the deep truth that changed her life. See, in the camp, she was known as number 16, and only one of many Westerners who sought self-identity and comfort behind the walls of the electric fence that separated them from the outside world. There were other missionary kids in the same predicament, and often they managed to get together for a few moments of prayer, and they prayed for freedom. But as time passed, Carrie began to feel uneasy about these times of prayer. Freedom was becoming the ultimate goal in life, and God seemed to become less and less important except for his answer to her prayers of freedom. She began to pray and search the Bible, and Carrie came to a new outlook on life, and she no longer desired to be able to pray the prayer that pray for freedom, but it was only then that Carrie was able to pray the prayer that changed her life. Lord, I'm willing to stay in this prison for the rest of my life if I can only know you. And at that moment, she was free. See, so often we pray the wrong prayers and we're looking for the wrong things, and Jesus says, I am the one who can set you free. Our focus is in the wrong places. Say, God, if you just answer my prayers, then I know I'll be free. God, if you just give me the job that I want, I know things will be good. God, if you can just take away my illnesses, then I know I'm going to be good. God, if you can just do this and you can do this. And we never live in freedom because we're looking to God to do something for us. And Jesus says, if you want freedom, just know me. Come to a relationship with me. Know me, and I will make you free. Jesus is the source of our freedom. It's him who we have to seek. And he is the answer that we have to respond to. In verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. This is the answer. It's the answer whether we believe it or not. It's the answer no matter how many times we ask the question. Have you ever had one of your children come up to you and they want something and they ask you a question and you say no? And so they rephrase the question. And you say the answer is still no. But so-and-so is also doing this. Okay, the answer is still no. The answer is the answer no matter how many times you ask it, no matter how many times you rephrase it, it's the answer. Jesus is the answer. He's the one that sets us free. And this is the truth that brings us freedom. It brings us freedom. It brings us freedom from the penalty of sin. The Bible declares, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. See, when we sin against the God who made us. And we break a relationship with our Creator. And that relationship is put back together again through Jesus. We are made right with him. See, the whole idea of this baby in the manger is that Jesus came to bring us back into right relationship with God. And because the price of sin is death, the only one who could offer that sacrifice was our perfect God who came. He was the only one qualified. In Romans 4:25, it says he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. We are saved. We're free from the penalty of sin. We are free from the power of sin. Christ, accepting Christ and his free gift of salvation, the Bible says without that we're a slave to sin, but our sin has, and that sin has power over our lives and it dominates our lives. And we live a life that's contrary to God, but we don't have to be that way any longer. Romans 6:17-18 says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed him from the heart and have been free from sin, you become slaves to righteousness. I was having a conversation not long ago with some students. We were talking about the idea of slaves, and they said, what's the difference? If you're a slave to sin and you're a slave to God, you're still a slave to something. And we were talking through this, and I said, well, there's some things that when you're a slave to, it doesn't really bother you that you're a slave to it. Like, for an example, I love to go hunt. And you may say that maybe I'm a slave to hunting because, you see, I'll go out there, and I'll have blisters on my feet. And I will be tired, and I am frustrated, and I don't see anything. And I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And then somebody will call and say, hey, you want to go hunting in the morning? I'm like, yep, let's go. Because I love to go do it. See, we talk about being a slave to Jesus. It's not about him putting shackles on us and saying, you have to go do this. It's saying, we love our God, and we want to serve him, and we want to be in relationship with him. And I may be a slave to him, but I'm a slave by my choice because it's exactly what I want to do. And nothing will keep me from doing that because of my great love for him, from the power of sin. And we also see that we're free from the presence of sin, free from the penalty, free from the power, but from the presence. The Bible declares there's going to be a day when there will be no more sin. The future, it's called glorification. In Romans 8:30, it says, moreover, the one whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. See, there's going to be a time when we're going to live, and there's going to be no more sin, and we're going to be free from the penalty and the power of sin, and we're going to live in a time where we can escape the very presence of sin. That's going to happen when we leave this physical life, this physical earth, and we get to go spend eternity with him and be in his presence. And we can experience this great freedom from the presence of sin. We're going to have a new home. We're going to have a new home. We're going to be in heaven, the dwelling place of the Almighty God. And we're going to be with a God who can't be in the presence of sin. So there will be no more sin. We'll have a new body. We'll have a new mortal body that will never need surgery. That will never need to be repaired. We're going to have a new body. We're going to have an immoral body that sin cannot take rule in. We're going to have a new life, a life that can't be influenced by sin because there is no sin. And we'll be living in complete worship and adoration of our God. And this is what we look forward to have the assurance of when Christ returns, we can live with him. Freedom. But it's a choice. And we have to make a choice. Not long ago, I was shopping for a new hunting rifle, and I was looking at this rifle, and I went back to the store 2, 3, 4 times looking at this rifle. And I kept looking at it and trying to make a decision, and finally the guy at the store looks at me and he says, okay, you've looked at this rifle a lot of times. He says, what's keeping you from buying it? And I said, well, here's the deal. I can't decide if I want the rifle more or the money more. And I had to make a choice. You see, we have to make a choice. Do we want to love and live for God more, or do we want to live for the world more? We've got to make a choice. Is God the most important thing in our life, or is something else the most important thing in our life? We have to make a choice. And if we want true freedom, then we have to make the choice. Understanding Christ's death on a cross gives us freedom. And it gives us freedom from the things we talked about, the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin. It's a truth. And we experience this truth, and it really does make us free. So today, if you really want to be free, we have to respond to the God who sets us free in a relationship with him. This isn't something we do one time in our life and say, okay, I did this. I accepted Christ as my Savior. Now I'm free forever. This is something we do every day. We make a choice. Every day we look at our life and we look at things going on. We say, today I'm going to choose God. Today I'm going to choose to live for him. We make the choice. What are we going to do? See, in order to have truth, there has to be an answer. And so many people are looking for an answer, and I'm telling you that Jesus is the answer. The truth that sets you free. Jesus, born the baby in a manger. He is the truth and the one that gives us freedom. That's what we respond to here this morning. That's what our choir sung about. That's why we're celebrating Christmas. How do we respond to the truth of Jesus? Let me invite you this morning to respond to what God may be saying to you. If you're here this morning and maybe you're here and you really don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've never experienced the real freedom in a relationship with him, let me invite you this morning to come up and speak with me. Speak to one of our deacons who will be standing either side of our church and understand what it means to be free. Maybe you're here this morning and there's something holding on to you. There's some bondage in your life. Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's something else. And you need to get rid of it. And you need God to just truly set you free. Let this morning be the time when you let it go. Let this morning be the time you say, look, I don't want it anymore. I don't want to be free. Maybe God's doing something else. Maybe speaking to you in a different way. Respond to God however he may be speaking to you.